Recorded Books and RB Digital present The Lazarus Effect by H.J. Golakai. Narrated by Mushidi Motsekwa. Prologue. The teenager broke the bones of her neck and wrist and felt no pain. The core of her being, a vibrant girl who had loved the color red and salty, vinegar-soaked chips, was gone. Spirit and flesh had parted ways 2 years earlier. The husk left behind meandered through an underground drain pipe. The pipe traversed a field and wandered into a residential suburb with a brisk business imprint, its chambers swollen with rainwater. A torrent of filth, mud, plastic garbage, the effluent of other people's lives and carelessness, pushed the remains back and forth. The girl's corpse had lain dry and undisturbed for over 2 summers, nestled in a storm drain protected from the elements by pipe failure in the drainage system. This year's rains were particularly brutal, disrupting the rest haven. Flooded the concrete channel, rolled and settled, shifting and releasing its contents. The corpse had knocked 3 kilometers of sub-city planning, bones breaking along the way. Now, it faced a battle of size versus mechanics. The larger channel diverted into smaller culverts, and the force of the runoff was too weak to expel the unusually large cargo. The girl's corpse lay wedged between a fair-sized stone and the unyielding lip of a pipe, stuck literally between a rock and a hard place, rocking gently in the current. Braving the cold on a nearby footbridge, a solitary figure hopped from foot to foot, waiting for some sign of the body. After days of rain, the torrent should have released it, or a piece of it by now. Nothing had appeared, meaning it had to be stuck in the system. Something like this had been bound to happen. The watcher had been quick to the scene within an hour of the first raindrops falling, and had tried and failed to pull off a rescue mission. Trying to fight the strong current in a confined space, alone and on an empty stomach, was a mad idea, a death wish. Only the living could fight for the dead, and the watcher felt frozen between those two worlds most of the time. So, the watcher watched, as the first to have seen the dead girl dumped in the storm drain, and the last one to see her alive. The watcher's waiting was mixed with a strange sense of loss. She wasn't coming out. Eventually she would, but not today or tomorrow. And when she did, whatever terrible things had landed her under the city would pop out too. Trouble was behind her. The watcher also waited with a sense of dread. Breathe. A few hundred meters away, a solo jogger zipping past the open expanse of Rondebosch Common grappled with the smaller but no less important issue of personal biology. Vuyenjama Johnson grunted as her legs ate up asphalt. She had no objection at all to the principle of fitness. In fact, she'd missed, in a distant, offhand way, her university days as a Star Trek and fielder. But this new taking-back-command routine, forcing herself to do things like run at ungodly hours to prove to her body that she was mistress of it, was a pain in the ass. She sucked in lungfuls of air, eyes watering a little as it nipped around her nostrils. The rub of a Cape Town winter, a temperamental witch's brew of whipping winds and slanting rain and rolling fog and wan sunlight, wasn't much help either. V cruised to a halt and bent double, hands gripping knees, appalled at how unfit she was. Her mind was definitely racing faster than her body. Miraculous, considering how much more baggage it had. Thoughts to the tune of, please, by summertime, let it be over, or let it be better, easier. If things had improved, if it had come under control by then, she'd fulfill every promise, lie, she'd made to God. Anything so that these absurd morning runs wouldn't be necessary anymore. The running was meant to clear her head, but evidently, the blockage up there was being cleverly circumvented. Doctors couldn't tell you everything. Can't tell you squat, she wheezed, clenching her teeth against
Sample complete. Ready to continue?